Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
This is an historic time.
This is going to be a multi-year fight.
Why is it taking so long to get a screening test?
It is not a hoax. It is real.
Something that we have never experienced before.
Wash hands, wash hands, wash hands.
I mean, you're the scientist. You're going to have to tell me.
Welcome, welcome to Science Rules Coronavirus Edition. I'm your host, Bill Nye. And this is the series that brings you the latest analysis and the science of this pandemic, so we can keep you informed, prepared, and calm. We are all in this together, my friends. Even if you don't consider me your friend, we're still all in this together. We are closing in today on 100,000 COVID-19 deaths in the United States, but nearly every state is either reopening or is getting started in that direction. To open safely before we have a vaccine, we're going to have to take a lot of precautions, including something you're probably starting to hear a lot about, contact tracing. It's one of the vertices of the triangle. Testing, tracing, quarantining. Contact tracing is a way to find out who is infected and to keep them separate from the rest of the people who might be healthy so that we can slow the spread of this pandemic. So here to explain this idea of contact tracing and how it works is Kelly Driscoll. She is the head of the Massachusetts Community Tracing Collaborative, a part of the state's COVID-19 Command Center. Welcome to Science Rules Coronavirus Edition.
Thank you.
So this whole idea, it's just something you hear all the time. You hear this phrase all the time. Contact tracing. We need contact tracing. That's what we need, contact tracing. What is contact tracing?
Contact tracing is pretty old school public health. This is public health that's been done for ages, for decades and centuries. Most commonly, it was done with measles and mumps, with tuberculosis and HIV/AIDS. It is getting in touch with people that we have known cases of infectious diseases, finding out what their symptoms are, when their symptoms started, and who they might have been around since, so that we can get our hands around who should be safely isolating and quarantined. So we find out who people have been in touch with, and we reach out to them and say, hey, you've been in touch with a known case. You should find a way to safely isolate. How do we help you get there? This disease is very sneaky and is jumping from person to person and often in asymptomatic ways. So in order for people to be able to protect themselves, their friends, and their family, we need to let them know they've been exposed and that they need to quarantine to protect others.
So this seems to me there's a couple things about this. The idea, all we got to do here is find out what store you've been in and everybody who's ever been in that store. That'll be easy, piece of cake. So how do you do this? How do you trace the contacts?
Right. So we have actually found, as the Contact Tracing Collaborative has stood up, that contact tracing is easier right now than we thought it would be. And the reason is, in Massachusetts, at least, there's been really effective social distancing. We built the system assuming 10 contacts per case. And what we found is the median actually has hovered below 3, less than 3 contacts per active case right now.
So if I were infected, you would expect me to come in close contact. And there's got to be a spectrum. Like you walk past somebody, that's one thing. You're downwind of somebody, that's one thing. But you shake hands with somebody, that's when you get, and that person touches his or her face, that's when you get into trouble, right?
So that is definitely part of it. And that's part of your ongoing chant of wash your hands. However, the way that the CDC determines a close contact is anyone that is within 6 feet of you for more than 15 minutes.
15 minutes. That's quite a while.
Yeah.
15 minutes. You're standing there talking to your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You're out on the sidewalk. You're both walking your dogs and you're chatting and chatting for 15 minutes. And that's a contact.
Yeah, that would be considered a close contact.
So you would expect, on average, a guy like me meeting somebody on the sidewalk would have come in this sort of contact with 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying is only 3 people in Massachusetts.
Yeah, between 2 and 3 per case right now. Governor Baker has issued phase 1 of the reopening of the economy as of last Monday. It's very restrictive. Social distancing and face coverings are part of all of it. But we are watching as more people go out into the community, as more businesses open, we anticipate there'll be more close contacts.
Yeah. Okay. So hang on. So how do you do this? You have volunteers, they call people. What do you do? How does this work?
Sure. So the core of contact tracing happens at the local board of health level. These local boards of health have done this with the other diseases I mentioned, measles, mumps, TB, et cetera.
So in Massachusetts, how many local boards of health are there?
Great question. 351. We are the only state in the union that has completely decentralized local boards of health. But they, like us, have never seen anything in our lifetime like COVID-19. The scale and the explanation of cases is just overwhelming. And so the state set up a contact tracing collaborative, which provides an additive resource to local boards of health to support them in contact tracing. So a case comes into the epidemiologic system of network. The local board of health either has the bandwidth to take it and do the contact tracing, or they don't that day. If they don't, they send it to the CTC. And this army of contact tracers takes it on.
So what exactly happens? Okay, so let's say, and right now, everybody, as far as I know, I do not have COVID-19, nor have I been exposed. But let's say I had, and I meet people on the street. We're walking our dogs, and we stand and chat within 6 feet of each other for 15 minutes. Now what happens?
So if your friend that you chat with has a confirmed positive case, they go to their provider, they get the lab. The lab gets done. The lab enters the test into the system of record. In Massachusetts, it's called MAVEN, the Massachusetts Virtual Epidemiologic Network, but every state has their own system of record that does contact tracing. And so the case comes into MAVEN, and the local board of health will take it or get sent to the statewide community tracing collaborative. And at that point, it becomes a script-based system. I'm happy to walk through the script with you if you want.
A script? So what, do you call people on the phone?
Yes. All of this is virtual.
So when the phone rings and I don't recognize the number, I presume it's a call I might not want to answer, so I don't.
Totally. Yeah.
So then do you leave a message at that point?
So now we do. We've learned a ton of lessons in the past 6 weeks since this thing got stood up. And one of them is we are living in a cell phone age where people screen. I screen. Of course, other people screen.
Yes, yes. Hello, I'm insane. I need to talk to Bill Nye right now.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
I need to know some science. Yeah. So a couple of things. We worked with telecom, so Verizon, AT&T, and whatnot, to get a single caller ID. It says Mass COVID Team. We have learned that we need to text in advance and say, hi, we're about to call you to talk about COVID. We have learned that we need to leave messages if people aren't picking up and give a time when we would call back. So, hey, Bill, I'm calling from the Community Tracing Collaborative. I'll call you back in 20 minutes. Please answer. And then we are also working with local media outlets in many different languages to get the word out about what this is and why it's important.
So now I answer the phone. How many people answer the phone?
Our contact rate is around 60%, 60. Of course, we would like to get that to 100%. But we are trying to build faith and trust in communities, especially hard to reach communities where English might not be the language of origin, where people are afraid of the government for documentation status reasons or otherwise, and really trying to infuse trust in those communities so that they do answer the phone.
Okay, so let's say they answer the phone. Now what happens?
So now I go to my script. Hello, my name is Kelly, and I'm calling from the Community Tracing Collaborative. Can I confirm that I'm speaking with Bill Nye?
Yes, yes, this is he.
Thanks, Bill. Can you confirm your address and date of birth for me?
Yes, yes, yes. Address, yes, 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 yes.
All right. You were recently tested for COVID-19, and your test result has come back positive. And we're calling everyone who has tested positive in the state to collect some information important for the overall state response to COVID. Do you have time to talk to me now?
Well, I better if I'm infected. Heavens, I had no idea.
COVID-19 is extremely contagious and it spreads very easily through contacts. Luckily, most cases are mild or moderate, and Bill, it sounds like yours is. And most people don't need to be in the hospital. Some cases can get more serious and call pneumonia and breathing difficulties. I'm not a doctor or a nurse and cannot provide you with medical advice. If you need additional information, please speak with your doctor. I then will ask you if you've talked to your doctor about your test results. In Massachusetts, the calls are coming from physicians to the patients. I'm not sure how it plays out across the rest of the country, but in general, that answer will be yes here.
So what if people are angry? I do not have it. I feel fine. There's no way I have it. You're crazy. I did not ever touch anybody. So I went on to what? What's the big deal? You suck. I paraphrase.
Thank you for your feedback. I think in terms of that kind of combative nature, those cases would be escalated to a supervisor or somebody else that is able to de-escalate, or the call would be over. You know, our goal is not to have combative or non-voluntary conversations. It really is helping people understand what their diagnosis means, how they can protect themselves and their family, and what to look out for moving forward with regard to symptoms.
So how many people hang up and get furious?
You know, I think a lot of it is community-based and kind of the culture within the community. I don't think that that is common. More people will just pick up the phone and just hang right up. It's not a, I'm telling you about your COVID and now you're hanging up on me. In general, it is someone that doesn't want to engage at all versus someone that chooses to engage and then gets angry about it.
Okay, so in the worst case, here's the thing. In the best case, the people answer the phone, they go, thank you for the information, I'll contact my doctor, I'll get tested. Is there responsibility on the person who talks to you politely and carries on, listens carefully? Is that person then asked to contact his contacts or her contacts?
So part of the script, all right, Bill, I'm going to ask you to think about when your symptoms started. If you can think 48 hours prior to that symptom onset, who might have you been in close contact with? A close contact is someone that you've had over 15 minutes of time spent within 6 feet of that person. Like for me, it would be the people that are living in my household. Or if I went into the office that day, it might be someone that I, you know, had lunch with.
What about the grocery clerk? That's less than 15 minutes, right?
That's less than 15 minutes. And that is something that, you know, we're approaching as a cluster. So a grocery clerk, if he or she gets sick, likely the other people that he or she work with are close contacts and should also get tested.
But not necessarily all the customers.
Not necessarily.
Especially if the customers and the clerk are wearing masks. Not that masks solve everybody's problem, but they lower the chances somewhat, right?
Exactly. And a lot of grocery stores are putting that plastic up between the grocery clerk and the customer to even add another barrier. Some grocery stores are sterilizing everything in between each customer. So there are measures being taken to reduce the likelihood. Of course, with COVID, our response to everything is watch your symptoms, watch yourself. This thing is spreading so sneakily that there is no panacea. We have to kind of always be on guard.
We'll be back right after this.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
So if just under two-thirds of the people answer the phone and you have a nice chat and enlighten them and get them to participate, is that enough? Is two-thirds enough?
It's not 100%, but it is something. And like you said, it's one of the three key vertices of the triangle. And we're constantly trying to strengthen each vertice. We're trying to expand our testing and make that better in so many different ways. We're trying to be able to provide safe isolation to those that have been exposed. That means not only for the housing insecure and homeless population, but also for people that could isolate at home, but how am I going to get food? How can we use the social safety net to do food delivery, prescription delivery, et cetera? And then tracing, we have to constantly improve there too. And as that triangle becomes more and more bright lined and cohesive, then that's enough. But, you know, every piece matters and every step matters and every contact made means that two or three people that they're close to will have a heads up that they need to self-quarantine and that could be saved lives.
So hang on. I could imagine, you know, this expression we have now, robocall.
Mm-hmm.
I could imagine these are robocalls and this would be automated and we'll call back in 20 minutes.
Yep.
Is that being used?
No. So there are no robocalls. There are some tech solutions that Apple and Google have rolled out. There's kind of big splashy contact tracing tech pieces that we're considering as a both and approach. But the baseline of contact tracing is a human to human endeavor. In West Africa, it's going village to village to squash Ebola. And in general, it is really the human interaction, knowing that disease plays out differently in different bodies, that inherent in this conversation is fear and trauma. And to be able to get someone to communicate with you and to really connect, you need to connect on a human to human level.
What about privacy? Are people afraid they're an axe murderer or just a good cyber criminal?
Privacy is incredibly important. No contact tracers should or will ever ask for your social security number or your health insurance information or your immigration status.
So how many people do you have doing that in Massachusetts?
Right now we have 1,600 people. When the governor made this announcement alongside Partners in Health at his April 3rd press conference, by that weekend, we had 12,000 applications. So far, we've had 44,000 applications.
People who want to participate, who want to help.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep.
Is that enough? Is 1,600 enough? How many people do you want? Do you need, rather?
So we're watching closely. As contacts expand, the need for staff also will expand. And so we're watching reopening and the impact that has on the number of cases and the number of contacts. We have the ability to flex up in staff. But again, the local boards of health remain the nucleus of this effort. And so what we are going to be adjusting to what they can take on and what they need.
If you ask somebody to quarantine, do they? How many people who've been asked to quarantine don't quarantine?
Sure. I just want to also draw a line between what isolation is and what quarantine is. Isolation is what is told to a positive case that they need to remain in isolation, which is kind of stricter parameters than quarantine. In isolation, if you have your own bathroom, which is a statement of privilege, but if you do have your own bathroom, we ask that you use it and that you do everything you can to stay away from everyone in your family or anyone that you live with. And then with quarantine, it's when you are a contact of someone that's a known case. And that means that you should stay home, should clean surfaces, but you can interact with those that you're living with.
How many people refuse to do this when enlightened?
You know, most, I would say 95% of people are doing the right thing and are following the rules. There's always the 5% of people that take up 95% of our time. And for those people, we really try to push the public health angle of this is helping your friends and your family. This isn't just about you. This is about keeping other people safe. And if need be, in Massachusetts, the local board of health can issue a cease and desist order, kind of mandating that someone stays in their home for an isolation period. I think fewer than 10 of those have been written since the onset of the disease.
Fewer of 10 people in a commonwealth with millions of people. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of social pressure to do the right thing here because it really is. Everyone is relying on each other and we all are in this together.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
How does the next step go? This is to say you've called somebody on the phone who's positive. Mm-hmm. You've read them the thing about you're positive. We want you to quarantine or isolate depending on the level of severity. How does a conversation go with the people with whom they've been in contact, the next level?
Right. So in our conversation, I'd say, hey, Bill, who were you in close contact with? And I'd describe what a close contact is. for 2 days prior to your symptoms. You'd give me a list. It probably is, you know, people that you live with or anyone that you're very close to and you've spent time with. And I say, I please have their phone numbers. Assuming that you go along with it, I explain why it's important so that they can know, so that they can quarantine and protect themselves and their families. All of contact tracing is person-centric so that the case identifies who the next level of orbit is there.
Orbit's a good thing. Imagine concentric circles.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Around a person who's infected. You talk to somebody who's infected, mm-hmm. and you ask them to quarantine or isolate. Where do they go?
Safe quarantine and isolation is a huge problem, especially for people that don't have a lot of space where they live, whether they have two families in a single apartment or are college kids and they're all living together. And so while we would hope that everyone could isolate in their home, we know that that is a total position of privilege. And so we need to come up with systems to support other safe isolation. Massachusetts has set up a system of shelter hotels where they've rented either a floor or the entire hotel in a Days Inn or a Holiday Inn. And those are open to people that can't safely quarantine at home, whether because they're homeless or housing insecure, or anyone that's on MassHealth, which is the state Medicaid system, can go to these isolation hotels and safely isolate. They're staffed with nurses, there's food delivery and other supports.
So, do you have in your script dealing with conspiracy theories?
We don't. In general, you know, this is a voluntary system. We're not forcing people to talk to us. We are trying to imbue the inherent public health value and what it means for themselves, their family, their community, their grandparents. There's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, people act in a trauma-based environment, which we're all living through right now. We're in a collective trauma, and people act out in different ways. And I think that generates some misinformation and real fear that can perpetuate itself, especially in certain social media bubbles. Our job is to ask very straightforward questions, trying to get to the heart of who these people are, what their symptoms are, when their symptoms began, and who might have been in touch with them during their symptomatic phase. Really, because the faster and the easier that we can get to those people and their contacts, the sooner that we can reopen the economy, the sooner that we can please all these people that are so frustrated with what's going on right now and don't trust what's going on.
So if you were in charge, what would you do?
So if I could wave a magic wand, I would want everyone to be talking about contact tracing as a critical pillar here, as something that helps not only us get our hands around this disease, but could save the lives of the families, your community, your grandparents, your teachers. This is all of us in this together, and we need to be talking about it as importantly as testing and the other social supports.
Contact tracing, everyone. Our guest today has been Kelly Driscoll. She leads the Community Tracing Collaborative for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now, if you're out there and you'd like to join the conversation, please leave us a voicemail. Tell us about your experience with this pandemic. Do you remember voicemails, everybody? The beep, the tone, the hang-up? 201-472-0785. That's 201-472-0785. We are all in this together. There's nobody who is not involved in fighting this pandemic. It is a pandemic. It's worldwide. So now more than ever, the science of public health, the science of pandemics rules. Now, if you like Science Rules, Coronavirus Edition, and I hope you do, please take a moment to rate and review it in Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. It helps us out. It helps other people learn about the show. It helps us tailor the show to what you want to hear. Thank you. Now, Science Rules, Coronavirus Edition, is a production of Witness Docs from Stitcher. The show is produced by Harry Huggins and Corey S. Powell. Our editor, once again, is Tracy Samuelson, and our engineer, again, is Lewis Fleming. He also mixed this episode. Peter Clowney is our executive producer. Special thanks to Casey Halford. Chris Bannon is the chief content officer here at Stitcher. And at Stitcher, now more than ever, science rules. And one more thing, everybody. No, wait, it's three more things. Trace your contacts, trace your contacts, trace your contacts.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.